Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.
The Irish Times has been to Lanzarote, where they've done a big investigation into Jerry Hutch this morning. It's the main story on the front page. And they say Spanish authorities have frozen Jerry Hutch's property assets in the country as part of an ongoing money laundering investigation into Mr. Hutch, who plans to run in a by-election in Dublin next month. And the Irish Times says the revelation that Spanish authorities have frozen his property assets in Spain comes as Mr. Hutch refused to detail the extent of his property holdings in advance of the by-election for Dublin Central. Jerry Hutch running as an independent candidate in that election. He told the Irish Times he would disclose his assets only if elected, though he did suggest he may be the wealthiest TD in the Dáil if he wins a seat. Documents obtained by the Irish Times show Jerry Hutch owns three properties in Spain, including a three-bed villa in Puerto del Carmen in Lanzarote, where he spends 8 months of the year. The house sits on a 147 square metre plot and also has access to a 425 square metre private garden. He also owns a penthouse apartment in Fungarola as well. And there's more details, as I say, a big investigation into the Irish Times, into Jerry Hutch in the Irish Times today. Irish Daily Mail on the front page says there's a seismic shift in our Ukrainian policy. So we heard yesterday about changes to the accommodation being provided to Ukrainians here. The Mail says Ukrainians are going to have to prove they're self-sufficient to remain in Ireland and be placed on a pathway to citizenship. Documents obtained by the Mail show plans to end the Temporary Protection Directive and the withdrawal of payment supports and permanent supports for Ukrainian refugees fleeing the Russian war within the next year. It's being described as a seismic shift in policy, removing all long-term accommodation supports for most of the 60,000 Ukrainians currently availing of them, and those supports will be removed by March 2027. So there's still a bit of time to go on that. Irish Examiner on the front page tells us that there's good news for people in Adair Village this morning in Limerick. 1,500 residents in Adair are going to get tickets to the Ryder Cup. The passes will give them access to each of the three tournament days. Now, we heard last week that a ticket per day is €500, so these tickets are worth €1,500, and everyone in Adair is getting a three-day pass. An allocation of tickets for the Europe versus US golf match was put on sale last week for Irish residents only, costing €499. But in Adair, they don't have to pay anything. A resident, Pat O'Connell, told the Irish Examiner, "My wife and I had just come back from holiday and we got word from a neighbour that there was good news in our post box. We found a letter from the Ryder Cup organisers informing us my wife and I had each been allocated complimentary tickets." I assume you can't sell on the tickets, because I'm not sure. I think they could go for a lot more than 1,500. Another resident who was renting a house in Adair also got the good news in the post box, but is now hoping the property owner will not come looking for the passes. Irish Independent watchdog warns solicitors on big fees for release of wills. The legal services watchdog is criticising solicitors for charging hundreds of euro to release wills stored on their premises. Under no circumstances should the handing over of a will be made on the payment of a so-called storage fee, the legal services regulatory authority has said. And the Irish Daily Mirror goes with a British story with an Irish link on the front page, "A Knife in My Soul." The Irish former right-hand man of Keir Starmer admitted he made a serious error of judgment in advising the British Prime Minister to send Peter Mandelson to Washington. Morgan McSweeney, who was born in Cork, said revelations of a friendship with Jeffrey Epstein were like a knife through his soul. He did take full blame over Mandelson, and in many ways he's kind of saved Keir Starmer's career, one would suggest, although Mr. Starmer does have some elections in May, so we'll see how he gets on with those. We're still talking about electric buses and the fact that we're not using them on Irish roads. The Irish Independent says electric buses worth tens of millions of euro have been sitting idle in Northern Ireland for a year and a half because charging infrastructure has been delayed. In case you're not familiar with this story, we went off and we bought 76 double-decker battery electric buses. We haven't used them in over 500 days. And 14 of those haven't been used in 860 days. That's 2.5 years that we haven't used these buses because essentially we don't have the charging points for them. The PAC discussed it yesterday and they say it's simply staggering the length of time the buses have been left to sit idle in their manufacturer's base in Ballymena, awaiting dispatch to Dublin, Galway and Limerick. John Brady of the PAC says it's a shocking incompetence from the National Transport Authority. I don't know what went wrong there, but they have been sitting idle for a year and a half. And it's such a shame because it would really help our environment if you were to have 100 electric buses going around. And these fast charging points are great. I was in Cork yesterday and I pulled into a petrol station. I can't remember where I was. I think outside Fermoy. And in about 20 minutes, my car was fully charged and ready to go back home. So it is very, very handy. Elsewhere in the Mail, we're talking about getting married and we're marrying less and ditching the church when we do. You may have heard this from the CSO. Not many people are going to the chapel anymore or even getting married. Catholic ceremonies have lost their spot as the top choice of how to tie the knot. The number of them dropped by half. Instead, it's all these civil ceremonies. And I was just thinking there, the last six weddings I was at, none of those were in a church. And anytime I see weddings on Instagram now, very rarely do you see them in churches. They all seem to be in hotels or even outside as well. Now, other stories for you. I really like this one from The Eye. This is about the secrets in kitchens, the things that people don't tell you they get up to, but actually they do. 20% of people surveyed say they serve food that has fallen on the floor. 21% confess to double dipping while cooking for others. This is a new survey from HelloFresh. And essentially the secret habits we do in the kitchen are eating the ingredients while we cook them, eating straight from the pot, placing washed up dishes and cutlery in the cupboard without drying them. That'd give you mould, would it not? Licking the spoon and continuing to use it when cooking for others. That's what double dipping is. Serving people food which has fallen on the floor. Reusing dirty dishes to eat for another meal. Using your bare hands to scrub dishes and utensils clean. And using clothes to dry dishes when there's no tea towel. They are some of the secret kitchen habits. Now, those are the stories in the papers.
Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.